Well, let me say good morning to you again. And it really is a pleasure to be able to be in church and to share with you this morning. Thank you for listening and leaning in for the next 20 minutes or so as I do so. I remember when I was at school, I was once asked to referee a year nine inter-form football match. And at the time, I was a couple of years older. I was in year 11, and I thought that might be fun. And so I will help out referee this year nine inter-form football match. Well, very quickly, it became apparent that I was very much out of my depth. The game started, and before I knew it, I was caught in what was possibly the most intense rivalry known to man, as these two teams began to kick each other more than they were kicking the football. You see, I had a whistle and I had a vague idea of what the rules were, but it was so hard to judge who had fouled who. And if they had fouled someone, was that a yellow card, a red card? Can I even give out a red card in a year nine inter-form football match taking place at lunchtime? To be honest, I didn't even know if I had the authority to be a referee in that game. Well, the game descended into chaos and my judgment was stretched. And to this day, I don't know whether the consequences of that game have ever actually been dealt with. The truth is, being a referee or being a judge is very difficult and it's more complex than we perhaps realise. The reality was that I didn't have the authority to judge that game. Well, in a different context, Jesus, during his Sermon on the Mount, teaches on the topic of judgment, on judging others, not in relation to being a referee, although that would have been helpful for me, but rather he's teaching on the topic of judging others in relation to self-gain, judging others for self-gain. And today we're going to hear a really clear and straightforward instruction from Jesus not to judge. But we're also going to see how this topic of judging and judgment helps us understand just how much we need Jesus and how good it is to know Jesus. We'll see that judging others for self-gain is bad, but also we'll see that there is glory in judgment when it comes from the Lord. Well, I want to begin by asking a question. And the question is, why do we judge? Why do we judge people? And the kind of judging that Jesus is talking about in our passage is the kind that is hypocritical and motivated by tearing others down in order to build oneself up. So why do we judge people? Well, the truth is, judging people is satisfying. Judging people feels good. That's why we're tempted to do it. When we judge somebody, we elevate our own standing. It helps us feel better about ourselves. But also, it's addictive. And there's so many things in our world that reveal just how much we enjoy to judge one another. And some of them are fine, but others are not so fine. Here are a few examples. Take sports, for example. They help illustrate how much we enjoy debating judgment, how much we enjoy debating judging others. I mean, the main reason I became a referee was because I wanted to judge other people and be in charge of that game. But also, we are constantly debating judgments made by sports people. I listen to the Football Daily, and this week on the podcast, the main discussion has been the judgment that the Chelsea owners made to sack the manager. We're constantly debating, judging. Or take television, for example. Television helps illustrate how much we enjoy watching people being judged. Programs like Judge Judy is where we literally watch somebody being judged for entertainment. Or the news, the 6 o'clock news, the 10 o'clock news, you tune in, and it is full of reporters and journalists who are making judgments in order to sell papers, in order to sell the news to you. Or Twitter, social media, people are behind their screens as they judge one another, casting judgment in such a way that is brutal because people are hiding when they do it. And lastly, what about COVID-19? Well, I think COVID has revealed the ugly side of judging others. I think it's revealed that when we judge others, it causes great division. The country should be doing this. Schools should be doing this. The workplace should be doing this. And cast a judgment and it's beginning to cause division. But it also causes suspicion. Are they in their bubble? Why isn't that person wearing a mask? What are they doing over there? That's not the right number of people. And lastly, it causes frustration. As I judge someone in relation to COVID, I'm frustrated. Why can't we sort this out and get back to normal? COVID reveals the ugly side of judgment. So why do we judge? Well, again, I think the reason that we judge people is because it feels satisfying, but also it's easy. It's easy to do and it's easy to hide. And unfortunately, at times, the church has gained a reputation for being judgmental in a negative way. And so at the start of this sermon, let this rather simple instruction from Jesus, found in verse 1 of our reading today, let this sink in. Jesus says, do not judge. Do not judge. It is worth me saying at this point that some in our culture take this instruction to its extreme and refuse to make any judgment on anything. And as a result, anything goes, no matter how harmful it is for themselves and no matter how harmful it is for other people. Well, that's not the kind of do not judge Jesus is saying here. No, Jesus is saying there is a temptation in our world to speak badly of someone, to lower someone down in your estimation and to elevate your own position. Jesus says, don't do it. Do not judge in that way. But Jesus doesn't just end there. He goes on and says, do not judge or you too will be judged. Jesus tells us that judging others comes at a cost. We learn from Jesus that judgment is more serious than we realize. There is a cost. And Jesus tells us what the cost is. When we judge others, God will judge us. Verse 2 says, for in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Unlike human judgment, which rarely has any consequences, God's judgment holds far more weight and it has big consequences. Jesus says, with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. So what is the measurement? Well, to measure something is to learn its true weight. And so the weight of your judgment, what it is you would have done to that person, will now be measured against you. I love this from Jesus because it's so clever. It's clever because we could spend hours now trying to come up with a measurement, a weight, that we would be happy to be judged by and to judge others by. But the truth is, I just don't think we would get very far. You see, if we choose a little weight with small consequences and we judge someone, then that person potentially has not received the right judgment. Or what if we choose a big weight? If you choose a big weight with big consequences and you judge someone, then in return you receive the judgment that is of the same weight. Well, that's not fair. What we quickly realize is that we are far better off leaving judging others to God, who has wisdom and the authority to measure correctly. To be honest, this whole conundrum reminds me of a parable that Jesus tells where he talks about an unmerciful servant. It's found in Matthew chapter 18. And in this parable, Jesus paints a picture story. He paints this picture as he tells a story of someone whose debts are forgiven. A man who owes a great deal of money has his debts forgiven rather than being thrown into prison. And instead of being judged, thrown into prison, the man goes free. He is treated with mercy. And with his freedom, he goes out to find someone who then owes him money. But that person cannot afford to pay the man. And so the man who has been shown mercy now does not show mercy himself. Instead, he judges the man and throws him into prison until he can pay the debts. He shows judgment and not mercy, having previously been shown mercy instead of judgment. It is a brutal and illogical situation that man has gone through. It is so odd that he would have received mercy, but then gone off and shown judgment to someone. It's brutal and illogical. And for the Christian, it's immensely hypocritical. For we, if we are in Christ, if we follow Jesus, we have received mercy over judgment. If we then go out and show judgment over mercy, we're being hypocritical. And so, before you judge somebody, I want you to consider how you would like to be judged. And I think God has given us a template of judgment, which is mercy and compassion. Through Jesus, the judgment that you deserve has been taken upon himself on the cross. Before we serve a sentence on somebody, when someone annoys us or they upset us, we should remember that we have been shown mercy by the Lord before we judge. But there is a judgment. There is a judgment that leads to discipleship. There is a way of judging someone that brings them closer into a relationship with Jesus. There is a judging of people that enables and helps them and us become more like Jesus if we allow it. And I want us to think about that for a moment. I want us to think about godly judgment that can be a form of discipleship. And this is the sort of judgment that must start with ourselves. And the key verses for this are verses 3-5. Well, there's a scene from a television show that I really like called The Office, the US Office in particular. And in this scene, the office workers are taking part in a first aid lesson. They are learning how to do first aid, and in particular, they're learning how to administer CPR, so chest compressions, mouth-to-mouth resuscitation, and they've got a dummy on the floor ready to practice. Maybe you've been to a first aid lesson. Well, in typical The Office style, it all starts to go wrong in a funny way as one of the office workers assesses that the dummy's main problem is not that their heart has stopped and that they're not breathing, but rather their main problem is that the dummy has no arms and no legs. And instead of concentrating on learning CPR, the office workers then engage in this conversation about missing limbs. Well, the reason I share that illustration is because it helps me understand that sometimes in life we focus on the wrong things and we think we know what's best. And that's what Jesus is getting at in verses 3-5 when he says, "Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, 'Let me take the speck out of your eye,' when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? You hypocrites. First take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye." Jesus teaches us in verses 3-5 that judgment starts with self. First, remove the plank so that you can see clearly. Then help your brother or sister. The crucial word help. So how do we help people when we've been told not to judge them? Well, Jesus' instruction not to judge people cannot be understood as a command to stop all of our critical analysis in relation to other people. It cannot be that Jesus is telling us to turn a blind eye to someone's faults, to pretend not to notice them, to ignore any and all criticism, to refuse to discern between truth and error, good and evil. That's simply not what Jesus is getting at. How do I know this? Because the vast majority of Jesus' teaching in the Sermon on the Mount is based on the assumption that we will, indeed we should, use our critical powers in order to discern right and wrong. So how might I, how might you, how might somebody go about judging someone in order to disciple them further into relationship with Jesus? Well, let's say you are a home group leader, or you're on the PCC, or you're leading children's and young people's groups, or you're just in a position of leadership over somebody. And you observe and you notice that someone under your care has stepped outside of God's purposes as defined by Jesus' teaching. Well, here's a really helpful question for you to ask yourself and consider. Where will my judgment of this person lead them? Where will my judgment of this person lead them? Will it lead them to condemnation with no hope of change? Or will it lead them to salvation? Will it move them to act, move them closer to Jesus? If your judgment of somebody leads them to condemnation, then your judgment is without mercy. If it leads them to salvation, then you'll be pointing to them to Jesus as you explain what is wrong. Crucially, it is your motivation that is important. Judging someone for discipleship means to identify a mistake and to humbly lead them to Jesus in a manner that you would like to be led. And through this kind of judgment, we can disciple others. Crucially, at the end point of our judgment is Jesus. It is Jesus that we lead people to, because it is at Jesus that we find ourselves. Judgment, judging others, must lead to Jesus. That is the only way for discipleship, through judgment. Because when it does, and when we lead people to Jesus and we ourselves are at Jesus, we get to experience the glory of judgment. You know, I was a little bit nervous about preaching on this topic of judgment because it can be quite hard to think about, to learn about, to hear someone talk about. But what I discovered was that there is glory in judgment. It means I can stand here with a smile on my face as I talk about this topic. And you can sit there and listen with a smile on your face. The gospel message is that there is glory in judgment. One day we will all face judgment, not the judging of someone in the supermarket or the judging of someone that upsets you. But we'll face judgment from God, and that will either be when we die or when Jesus returns. You see, before Jesus, before Christ, there was only death in judgment. But through Jesus' death on the cross, he has been judged in our place so that we can go freely into God's kingdom. It is the gospel message. So as we lead people to Jesus, what we find is that Jesus is both our judge, he's the one who will judge us, but also he's the one who takes our judgment. Jesus is our judge and the one who takes our judgment. And in our reading today, verse 6 can appear a bit out of place. It can be just quite difficult to understand. But here's the thing. Verse 6 helps us to understand the value of knowing Jesus in the face of impending judgment. Verse 6 is a plea to never forget just how valuable it is to know Jesus. Don't be distracted by the people of this world. If you are, then you may be trampled underfoot. Knowing Jesus is valuable. It's valuable because it will lead to the glory in judgment. One day we'll be judged, and God won't see my sin and my shame and my faults. Instead, he'll see Jesus, and he's pure and clean. The story of the Bible is that one day we will all face judgment. We will die, or Jesus will return, and we'll be judged. But that day of judgment is not something to be afraid of, but rather it is a day where we will see Jesus' glory. Through God's ultimate judgment, we'll gain access to his kingdom. You see, judgment can sound scary, and it is scary if you don't know Jesus. But if you do know judgment, if you do know Jesus, then judgment, God's judgment, need not be scary. Instead, it is glorious. So as I just come to a close and begin to conclude, how might you respond this morning? What might change? What would you go out from here having understood? Well, if you do not know Jesus, then can I say that he is the only hope you have of discovering the glory of judgment? And so to use his words at the start of his ministry, repent and believe in him. And for the Christian, if you're watching this and you know Jesus, then hear his simple instruction. Do not judge. Do not judge someone for satisfaction. Instead, judge someone for discipleship. Judge someone for the building up of faith, both yours and theirs. Let me pray to finish. Heavenly Father, thank you that in Jesus there is a glory when it comes to judgment. That one day, Lord, you will look upon your Son instead of looking upon me. Lord, thank you that I can know that glory. And Jesus, I pray that this topic of judging and judging others, Lord, I ask that you will help us. You will help us to not judge people for satisfaction or for self-gain or because it's addictive, but rather, Lord, you'd help us to judge people in such a way that we would lead them closer to Jesus. Whether they're a Christian or not, Lord, I pray that you would help us with that. In Jesus' name, amen.